Right. Let the Spirit lead you, young man.
Will do. Good morning, everyone. First, I would like to give all the honor to God, Pastor Jeff, the elders, members, and visitors that have assembled here this morning.
Get everybody in. Everybody jump loud. Let me see. Hold on. 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, you just got to talk loud. That's all.
Let me be sure. Good morning, everyone. First, I would like to give all honor to God, Pastor Jeff, the elders, members, and visitors, my mom, and Mrs. Pamela, that have assembled here this morning. Please bow your head with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this time with a bowed head and humbled hearts, thanking you for allowing us to come into your home one more time. I pray everyone will gain knowledge from God's word and my sermon. Amen. This morning, I would like to discuss Psalms 26 and some of the lessons that we can all apply to our lives. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalms 26 and stand as I read the Word of God. Psalms 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And I have walked in thy truth. I have not sent with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, and the congregations will I bless the Lord. Amen. There are three major lessons that I would love to sizzle your mind about with as we discuss Psalms 26. Number one, David is asking the Lord to search his heart to assure he is living and walking in the way God has commanded us to. Number two, David is informing the Lord about his efforts to surround himself daily with godly people. Third, David's petition for God's grace and mercy so that he can continue to do God's work, great works. In verses 1 through 3, David is asking the Lord to search his heart to assure that he is living and walking in God's light. Every day we need to strive to talk right with God. We can do this by reading our Bible, praying, and following God's commandments. This will allow us to increase our trust and faith in God. This will also allow God to lead and guide us to become better followers in Christ. In verses 4 to 5, David is informing the Lord about his efforts to surround himself daily with godly people. David is trying to be a great man in God's image. Therefore, David surrounding himself with people of God, for example, going to church, assembling for Bible study, meeting in small groups to discuss, encourage, and hold each other accountable, and following the word of the Lord. In verses 6 through 12, David's petition So David petitions the Lord for grace and mercy so that he can continue to do God's great works. David is sharing his obstacles that he faces and asking God for and asking God for mercy and kindness and forgiveness so that he can continue to do God's work. The devil is never happy when we are going and when we are doing God's work. Therefore, as followers of God, we are all going to face obstacles. It's important that we read God's daily word and pray and live according to his will. As Pastor Jeff would say, we need to remain in alignment with God's plan for us. Thank you for taking your time to listen to me discuss God's word. Amen.
Yeah, you wish, don't you? Oh, but I tell you, when I asked him, you know, what was he going to be speaking about, he says Psalms 26. So for those of you who still have your Bible over, just open, just go back down to Psalms 27. Because I'm going to be speaking about Psalms 27 here right now. So go to Psalms 27. Please, when you get this, amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This is King David that's written this psalm here. Okay, this is after King Saul had tried to kill him. He was on the run. This was after he was king and he committed that crime with Bathsheba, where he committed adultery, got her pregnant. And then he tried to cover that up by having her husband, Uriah, come home from the war to be with his wife so he could say that that was his baby. But it didn't happen like that. And so King David, he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed in battle. He deliberately put him in a situation where he was killed. So not only did he commit adultery? He committed murder also. But God called him a man after his own heart. I didn't understand that. But when you start reading these Psalms about his life, his love, his devotion to God, one of the scriptures he wrote said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And he was afflicted. There was a consequence for him doing what he did. And one of the consequences was the child that he had conceived with Bathsheba, the child died. And his children was rebellious his whole life, the consequences of it. But however, with all of that, King David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? If you fear God, you shouldn't fear nobody else. That's the only fear you should have. And that fear does not mean trembling, but it means reverence. It means to be serious with him. Not take him flippantly. Not call him the man upstairs or the big man or any of the other things that a lot of the people call him. He's God, God Almighty. So King David said, the Lord is my light, not the candles, not the sun, not the moon, not the stars, but God is his light. And when God brought his son here, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So King David, even before Jesus was brought here, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord. Once again, the Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nobody. Nobody. King Saul, all the army men, all the Philistines, and nobody else. I'm not afraid of anybody because I reverence God. And I know God is my covering. Y'all know the story about David and Goliath. David was a little boy. Goliath was a man of war. They said he was 9'6". His whole life, he was trained for battle. But this little boy, he was a shepherd. But God had prepared him while he was out there in the pastures. You know, a lion had come and snatched one of the sheep. And David went after him and killed the lion and rescued the sheep. Then another time, a bear came and grabbed one of the sheep. David went after the bear and delivered the little sheep out of the bear and killed the bear. So when he saw Goliath, this 9'6" man, and all of the Israeli army was afraid of him. He was walking 40 days in the valley. You know, you send your champion out and I will fight your champion, whoever your toughest guy is in Israel. And if he kills me, we will serve you. And if I kill him, you will serve us. And King David heard him going back and forth. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's defying our Lord? Who is this man? He didn't see he was 9'6". He saw his God was bigger than the 9'6". He saw that this man was not under the covenant of God, but he was. I don't know how tall he was, but, you know, it said he was a kid, so he's probably about 5 foot, if that. But what he wasn't afraid of him. He saw that he was not under the covering of God, and he was. So he could have been 19'6". And David didn't care because he knew greater he that was in him than he that was on the battlefield. He knew that his God was a mighty God and that no one or nothing was bigger than his God. So he says, whom shall I fear? Nobody. Because I respect and love and I'm committed to serving our God. Yes, I messed up. Absolutely, I sinned against God. Yes, I did these things that I shouldn't have done, as we all have. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. Don't be acting like y'all spiritual. Ain't done nothing. We've all done stuff. We've all done stuff, ain't we, Ethan? Huh? Okay. Ethan, you done stuff too, right? Ain't that his name? Ethan. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Ethan. This is your first time here. You know I got to get you. No, I'm just kidding, young man. We're glad that you're here. We're glad you're here. This is Denise Decker's neighbor, and he told her he wanted to come to church with her. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know he's probably sitting back there now like, what have I done? No. We just everyday people with issues. We all have issues up in here. Amen. But anyway, Says, whom shall I fear? He says, when the wicked, verse 2, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat my flesh, they trembled, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because God was his covering. God was his strength. God was the one who fought for him. The same thing, the same God that was him with him back then is the same God that's here today with us. The same thing that applied to him, same thing applies to us today. When we mess up, and we do, we have, and we will, we have a God that will forgive us. Not only forgive us, but he will use us for the kingdom of God. How many of us have gone through trials and tribulations in our lives and God has turned that around to use it to help other people who are going through trials and tribulations in their lives? You know, a lot of us have lost loved ones, and a lot of us have gone through all type of different situations in our lives. And God will take those things that the enemy meant for evil and God will turn it for good. How good is God? That same God that was with David is with us. And when the wicked and our enemies, and we have enemies. Matter of fact, Wednesday night I did a teaching on Satan and his devices. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's our enemy. He hates you and he hates me. He hates anybody who loves God. And he tries in any kind of way to come to us and affect us in our lives. But once again, like King David, we're under the covering of God. If you are a child of God and he is your father, we are king's kids. Do you know that? We're royalty. We got royal blood flowing through us right now. But you need to believe that. You need to do more. You need to know that. You need to live knowing that you are a child of God and that he has given you whatever that you need to live your life according to his word. It says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. Here we go again. Not fear, because God didn't give us a fear, spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Once again, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So whenever these things come to us, when the enemy comes to us and they try to bring fear upon us, or they bring things that make us, oh, how am I going to get through this? It looks so bad. It looks so bleak. And yes, it does look bad. And yes, it is bleak. But once again, I'm a king's kid. My God is bigger than whatever circumstances that the enemy brings before me. I don't care how many of his little demons that he brings at me. My God is bigger than that. My God is bigger than any illness, anything that injuries. My God is bigger than anything that the enemy will bring against me. But you know what? With me, the thing that the enemy brought with me was guilt of my past, of the things that I did in my past. Just in case y'all don't know this, I haven't always been a pastor. I want you to know that. But the life that I used to live, the enemy tries to bring those things up to me again. Who do you think that you are standing up on Sunday morning preaching the gospel to people and the things that you've done in your life? Let me tell you something, Satan. That person that you're talking about is dead. Don't live no more. Go to the cemetery out here to Brookside or wherever he is. I don't know where he's at. But go out there and talk to the tombstone. Because I'm not that person anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ. But every now and then, old Satan, he gets into my head. You know, he gets into my head sometimes. You know what I mean? And I started feeling, you know, a little shame, a little guilt, you know. But God comes up with the Holy Spirit and said, there's no condemnation in you, young man, because you're in Christ. There's no condemnation in you. You have been forgiven. You're a new creation in Christ. And you are too. So what I do is say, shut up. Shut up. And shut up. And it says that, and this is the good. It says, a host should encamp against me and my heart shall fear, though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. In this will I be confident. What will you be confident in? I'm glad you asked me. One thing I have desired of the Lord. Verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord. Not a second thing or a third thing. Just one thing I have desired. I don't want anything else. I'm not seeking anything else, but this one thing that I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Tuesday. Not just on Wednesday. But every day he says, one thing I desire is to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, they had a elderly woman. Her name was Anna. She was a widower. Husband had died. But it says for 40 something years, she stayed in the house of the Lord. She dwelled and lived in the house of the Lord for 40 something years. Now, in the New Testament, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, this here, this building here, it is, you know, the house of the Lord. And absolutely. But what he's saying is, I want to be in your presence all the time. Because see, back here in the temple, you go into the holies, and then in the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat, which represented the presence of God. So what he was saying was, one thing I desire is to live in the presence of God all the days of my life. Even after I messed up, my desire now is to be in your presence, Lord, every day, all day long. How good is that? How good is that? You're talking about a changed heart, a new mindset, a new lifestyle, a new way of talking, a new way of living. One thing have I desired of the Lord, not of the world, not of the government, not of the pastor, not of the church, not of my family, but one thing I desired of the Lord. And we should have that same mindset. I love that hat you got on. I've been missing that hat. Yes, my sister, she wears them hats. I love them big old hats. We used, back in my day, we called them church hats. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I done got off thing here. Whew. Okay, where am I? One thing I've desired, and it says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord. What is beholding the beauty of the Lord? I'm glad you asked me. When I look around the room today, I'm beholding the beauty of the Lord. I'm seeing people who are saved. I'm seeing people who are sanctified, set apart to serve God. I'm seeing people who are in the Word of God and living the Word of God and doing the right thing of God. We're not perfect. We all got issues. We all have struggles. But we're moving forward. We're pressing forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Some of us move a little slower than others. Amen. Some of us move a little slower than others. Some of us grow a little slower than others. But the key thing is that you're moving forward. Is that you're moving forward and you're doing better than you did yesterday. And guess what? Tomorrow, you should be doing better tomorrow than you're doing today. I ain't got no amens on that. All right. One thing I desire. Now, let's bring that into the day. Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. What thing? Everything that you need to live a godly life. Everything that you need to live your life that is pleasing to God. We miss it. Absolutely. We miss it from day to day, from time to time. But you don't habitually do it every day. every day, living in sin. No. Because God has given us a new nature, a new heart. And when we do mess up, when we do sin, that spirit that lives within us will let you know, hey, you can't keep doing this. You are royalty, you are a child of God, and you cannot continue to live like that. So what you need to do now is go confess your sins to Jesus, not to the pastor, not to no man in no box with a window, but you go confess your sins to Jesus. And he's faithful and faithful to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How good is that? Because we all sin. We all sin. But the key to it is we cannot continue to sin over and over and over and over again. King David, he sinned with Bathsheba. He sinned killing Uriah. But after that account, one thing about King David, he did not blame it on nobody else. He didn't blame it on Bathsheba. Oh, she's out there running around naked. She knew I'd come out here and look down on the thing here. No. Even if she was down there naked, tweaking and whatever she might be doing, you ain't had no business looking at her. Men, I wasn't going to go here. Men and women, because y'all look too. We need to be careful about what we look at and gaze at. Now, you can't help from just seeing somebody. You know, you can't help that. But you can help from following them. Mm-hmm. You can help that. Let me stop. Anyway, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And once again, he says, this one thing that I desire is to be in the presence of the Lord. It says, for in a time of trouble, verse 5, for a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his provision. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He has set me up upon a rock. In that secret place, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91. He says, in a time of trouble, when my enemies are at me, or maybe my mind not shouldn't be where it should be, I'm looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at. I'm hearing things that I shouldn't be listening to. In a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his provision. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. He should say, and who is the rock? Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You can find Jesus in there. From Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation. Jesus is in there. And now, verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Now, just talking about his enemies coming at him. Just talking about how they're trying to kill him and trying to defeat him. But he says, you know what? He says, when they all around me, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And what that means is, you know what the joy of the Lord is? Regardless of what happens in my life and in this world, when I take my last breath, I'm going to be with Jesus. You can't get no more joyous than that. I don't care what type of illness or injury or whatever else that might go on. You know, if I got to live out in the streets or whatever, all my friends forsake me, whatever might happen, I know when I leave here, I'm going to be with Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I just don't want it to hurt. Just take me home in my sleep, you know, or something, or just have something drop out of the sky, hit me, and I don't even know what it is. Whatever it is, just don't let it hurt. And before that, Lord, let me eat something real good. let me go to heaven on a full belly, something eating good. Praise the Lord. That's what I want. That's what I'm asking the Lord to do. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, will I offer in the a tabernacle sacrifice of joy? I will sing. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I will sing. You know, when I was listening to the Lamb of God back there. Woo! I'm going to tell you, thing went up and down me. I love that. Now, I know that's an old song. I know we've been singing it for a long time. But you know what? As I was in there looking, everybody was singing, O Lamb of God. Hands was up. And it was familiar to people. Even as old song, people love singing that song. Love that song. You know, and I know that there's new songs that we need to incorporate in our thing. You know, I know that. And we do, and we have, and we will. But I'm going to tell you, them songs that are familiar, no, I ain't going to go back to before y'all was saved. You know, because, you know, some of them songs that we used to listen to back in the day, you remember what it is? Some of them old songs we used to listen to back in the day, the old Temptations, and, you know, well, some of y'all might not know, but, you know, whatever. Y'all used to listen to them back in the day. And when the song come on, boy, you couldn't wait. You knew all the words. You knew all the words to the song. And you just sang that song because it was for me and you knew the words. So it make you feel good, didn't it? But we don't sing them songs no more. Love the one you with. No. No. We don't sing them songs no more. Amen. Oh, and then it says, verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy upon me and answer me. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. There's times when we cry out to the Lord. And you know what? Nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. And God will allow things to happen in our life that we cry out to Him. He wants us to cry out to Him all the time, but sometimes we get busy with life. Sometimes we get preoccupied with things, especially if things are going good. Things have leveled out and things are going good. Oh, but when that pressure hits us, what do we do? Oh, Lord! Oh, God! I need you, Lord. We should be crying out to Him all the time. In the good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh Lord, He says, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me. Lord, don't give me what I deserve. That's what mercy is. Don't give me what I deserve. He said, have mercy on me, oh Lord. He says, and answer me. And answer me when I call out to you. I need to hear your voice. That still small voice to let me know I'm still here with you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I will rescue you. I will sustain you. I will provide for you. Oh, yeah. And then it says, then thou shalt say, seek my face, not my hands. See, when you seek the face of God, you seeking everything. You know what I mean? But most time we want to seek His hands. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need, I need, I need. And yes, we do need. Absolutely. But he says, seek His. See, when you seek His face, you seek everything. When you seek His face, you know what I mean? His hands are wide open to you. But when my, and it says, hide not thy face from me, for thy servant. I done read that one, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. It says, hide not thy face from me, put thy servants away in anger, for thou have been a help and have not leave me not, neither forsake me, O Lord of my salvation. When my father, this should be not when, but if, or had my father and mother forsook me, then the Lord would take me up. Now, some of us, or some of you have been in situations where you didn't have a really good relationship maybe with one of your parents or something. You know, there's some, you know what I mean, have been abused or whatever. Even if your parents abused you, God said, I'm right here for you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never abuse you. Oh, no, 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 no. Even if they do, I'm always here for you. Y'all know the poem of Footprints. Oh, Lord, you said that you would never leave me, never forsake me. I was in a bad time of my life. And it was horrible. Where were you, Lord? And he says, oh, my son, oh, my daughter, I just want you to look back there. See them footprints that you see in the sand? Them are mine. I was carrying you through that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It was me that brought you through them terrible times that you were going through. I know you cried out to me. I know you said, where are you, Lord? But I'm the one that brought you here today. Yes, we've all had times in the past where it seemed like God had forsaken us. He said, no, no, no. I have carried you and got you sitting here today. All the things, and let me tell you something, not only that, when the things that you go through in the coming up, guess what? I still got you. I'm going to carry you all the way to the end. All the way to the end, till you come face to face with me in heaven. Oh, how good is that? How good is that? The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's my revealer. He's everything. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord. You teach me, Lord. You teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. Lord, I need you to direct me. I need you to give me the wisdom and the knowledge to live my life. Now, it's a wonderful thing to come to church to hear sermons. It's a wonderful thing to come to Bible study. It's a wonderful thing to do all of that. But the most important thing is have God lead you and guide you and teach you. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I must go because if I don't, he says, the Comforter won't come. The Holy Spirit won't come. And he says the Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you into all righteousness. The Holy Spirit will do that. Now, once again, it's wonderful and we need to have sermons. We need to have Bible teaching and everything. But at the end of the day, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Psalms 118:8. Better to trust in the Lord, put confidence in man. Better to let God lead you and guide you and put confidence in man. Because we can fail you, not on purpose, or some might be on purpose, but God will never fail you. God will never give you a wrong direction to go, ever, ever. Then it says, deliver me not over into the will of my enemies, for false witnesses rose up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You know, there were so many that was after King David, even his own children, some of his sons. King Saul was after him. You know what I mean? There were so many and they lied on him. There's one account that I remember that King David went to the priests and he told the priest, he didn't tell the priest the complete truth. And the priest gave him some bread. It was showbread. It was for the priests. It was for the temple. But he gave it to King David. And there was one guy that his name was Doeg. And he went back to King Saul and said, the priests helped out your enemy. King Saul brought the priest and all of his family, everybody in his family, and killed them all, or had them killed. Had all of them killed. The priest had no idea that King Saul was looking for David. They had no idea. He was innocent. But this one who was there, he knew that the priest didn't know it and didn't say a word. Matter of fact, he's the one that killed them all. Because King David told his soldiers to kill him. The soldiers said, I'm not killing the priest. I ain't doing that. But this one did. And there were so many that lied on King David over and over again. And then it says, deliver me over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses rose up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have just passed out. I would have been no good. I wouldn't have went on anymore. Because you know, when you faint, you don't move. You're done. I don't think I've ever fainted. Maybe I didn't know it. Don't know. Because you know, when you faint, you don't know it unless you driving or walking or something. You know, maybe I have, but I can't remember ever fainting. But it says, I know. Ooh. Now, I know sometimes in my life when I was close. You know, when things was going on in my life that was not good. Let me tell you something. I was close because I couldn't really understand. I couldn't do nothing about the situations. And I felt like there was no hope. But God, when I cried out to God, even when I was a sinner, I would cry out to God. And he heard me. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. What does that mean, to wait on the Lord? Does that mean just to sit down and sit in your easy chair and recline? No. Continue on living for the Lord. Continue on working for the Lord. But he said, wait on the Lord to do what he's going to do. Don't do it your own self. Don't make your own decisions. Don't go your own direction. Wait upon the Lord to direct you. Wait upon the Lord, young women and young men, to bring you a spouse. Don't go out there and get none yourself, because some of y'all done went out there and got some, and then you're just miserable. You're like the fly. Y'all know the fly on the screen door. I've told you about this before, just in case one ain't heard about the fly on the screen door. You know about flies. You know about the screen door. Yeah. Yep. There's a fly outside. He got all this freedom, the whole world, but he comes to the screen door and he's looking in. Sitting at the screen door looking in. You know how to do that. And he's looking in and he said, boy, I wish I can get in there. I can smell that stuff in there. They got nice furniture in there. Oh, it looks so nice in there. And then you got another one. He's at the screen door in the back. He's saying, Lord, I want to get out of here. I want to get back out there where everything is open. And I'm not confined in here. I ain't got to mop the floor. I ain't got to hear all this yang yang. Nah. Forget that last part. I know some of y'all going to say, But you know what? Men and women yang yang yang. You got some men too to yang yang yang. Ain't that right, leader? We got some men of yang 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 too. But praise the Lord. But anyway, the fly on the outside wants to get in. The fly on the inside wants to get out. Wait until the Lord opens the door for you or keeps the door shut. How many of you said, I wish I had never met him? I wish I had never met her. And the church says, amen, Mary. Praise the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He said that twice. Wait for God to direct you. Wait for God to provide for you. Wait for God to give you that joy and that peace. You know, people want to be happy. Happy. Everybody want to be happy. There's that song. What is that song of something? Be happy. What is it? What? Don't worry. That's right. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Yes. You know, happy only comes when things are going good. You know, kids are happy when they get an ice cream cone. Or when you eat a cookie. You know, or something. You know what I mean? You get happy when things are good. But God said, I come to give you joy. See, joy is not when things are good. Joy is when things are bad and ugly. And you have that confidence. You have that peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. The joy unspeakable. When the world is going to hell in a handbasket, we got joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. To know that our God is bigger than any situation, bigger than anything in the world or in the universe. God is bigger than all of that. And the good part about it is, we are His children. We are His children. How good is that? The God who created everything, all powerful, all knowing. God is love, and He loves you, and He loves me unconditionally. Might not love what we do from time to time, but He loves us. How good is that? If we can always remember how good God is. If we can always remember that God is always right there with us all the time. That should keep us from doing things that we shouldn't be doing. That should. But truth be known, it don't work sometimes, does it? No. But once again, we got a high priest. Confess our sins to Him. And He's faithful and just to forgive us. I'm so thankful for that. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so thankful for that. And you should be too. And that's why we should always, always, always seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the peace, the joy, the provisions, everything that we need to live our life according to the Word of God, He's there to give it to us. All we have to do is open up and receive it. But so many times we are holding on to things. We got our hands on things, you know, things that we love, you know, and they might be good things. It might be needed things. But you can't receive something if you're holding on to something. He's there wanting you to give. He's wanting to give us everything that we need. And we holler and cry, oh, God, where are you? And He says, I'm right here, but you're holding on. You're holding on. I can't give you something if your hands are not, if you're not open to receive it. We need to be open vessels, church. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the word of the Lord for today. If you ain't heard nothing else, wait on the Lord says, and He will strengthen your heart. And let me tell you something, we're coming into some terrible times, not only as a country and a world, but as a church. Our church is under attack. And it's going to be more. It's going to be under attack more. It's coming more. But look, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, that Goliath there, he's no comparison to our God. None. None. So whatever your Goliath might be or will be, remember, wait upon the Lord. Trust in Him. Cry out to Him. Live for Him each and every day. Is there anybody here this morning saying, you know what? I have a need to have joy and peace. I have a need to know that when I take my last breath, I'm going to be with Jesus. I have a need to know that. Not to hear about it, not read about it, but I need to know in my heart that I'm right with God. Oh, and then that's when that joy comes, church. That's when that peace comes. Is knowing that I know that I know. Not if, but when my time comes, I'm going to be with Jesus. It don't get no better than that. There's no mega lottery in the world that compares to that. None. I don't know how much, you know, I think is a trillion the most you can go? Is anything higher than $1 trillion? A bazillion? Whatever. Don't matter. Compare. Because even if you had $1 bazillion, you're going to die one day. And that $1 bazillion ain't going to do you no good. You can't take it with you into heaven. You can't take it up and say, oh, God, here, I got $1 bazillion. I'm going to give you this if you let me into heaven. When we stand up there before him and he looks at us and he gets a big smile on his face. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's all you need to know that you have here on this earth to give you that joy and that peace. But if you don't have it, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. Because there's an eternity for each and every one of us. There's an eternity for each and every one of us. One's heaven and one's hell. Y'all know it. Ain't no gray area. Heaven or hell. But you, he has given you a choice to choose. He's given you a choice, a free will. But then he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So what he's saying is, I will knock on the door of your heart. I'm choosing you, but you have to open up the door and receive me. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I'm praying that everybody here has opened up and received him. But if you have doubt, you can come today and get that doubt away. You can come today and know for sure that when I leave here, my eternal life is heaven. Now, well, Pastor, you don't know the stuff I've done in my life. Don't make no difference. There's nothing that you could ever do that God would turn you away. There's only one thing. Is unbelief. One thing and one thing only will keep you out of heaven, and that's your unbelief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's it. No murder, no burglaries. I don't care. Do you know that Jesus died for Hitler? And any other mass murderer or the worst person in the history of mankind. Don't you know Jesus Christ died for them and they have a thing that they can come to heaven? Do you know that? Don't seem fair, does it? But that's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves us. But you have to make a decision to wave that white flag and say, Lord, I surrender. I'm opening the door. Come on in. Come on in, Lord. It's a choice that you need to make before your time. And you're only one heartbeat away from eternity. Stop you. Matter of fact, I got a call yesterday. One of my dear, dear friends in Tanzania had a massive stroke and died yesterday. He's been in Tanzania for 40 something years. You know, his children were born there. He's from Germany, him and his wife. But he had a massive, massive stroke and died. I mean, this guy was, he was strong as an ox. I mean, we've done many, many things together. Werner, did you get that about Werner? Okay, yeah, he passed away here day before yesterday. You know Werner? Yeah. But you know what? His wife, and they're sad. His wife and his kids are sad. But they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing because they know, she knows her husband, and they know that their father is with Jesus. And they know that one day that they're going to be with him again. That's the joy. That's the joy of the salvation. King David says, I can't bring my son back from being dead, but one day I can go be with him. So once again, all of that is included in the covenant of Jesus Christ. So if you're not under the covenant, you're in trouble. So once again, if anybody in here today and the Holy Spirit is unctioning you and you have any doubt, I'm going to ask you to and come. So everybody good? Everybody good? Amen. So if it is, praise the Lord. If you are, but if you're sitting here and you know that you know that you know that you have some doubt, this might be your last opportunity on earth. It might be, might not. But you say, well, Pastor, I've been coming here and, you know, and ain't nothing happened. But it will one day. And nobody knows the day or the hour when you have to stand before Jesus. So if everybody's good here today, praise the Lord. I'm happy. I'm happy. But if you're not, it ain't going to be good for you. That's all I can say. It's not going to be good. And it can't be no do-overs. There's no do-overs. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. Lord, I don't know. You know that what everybody's hearts is, where everybody's spirit is, oh, Father God. And if everybody here is good, praise the Lord. But if there's one or two that's not, for whatever reason, that they might not confess it, Lord, I ask for mercy and grace to be upon them this day. I pray, Father God, that they will call out to you and ask you to come into their lives and into their hearts. I pray, Father God, that they say, I surrender today. I'm asking you, Lord, to be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you, Jesus, is the Son of God, and that you died on the cross and shed your blood for my sin, and you rose again on that third day. And you're seated in heaven. And Lord, I accept this free gift of salvation today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that if we have some here that's sitting that prayed that prayer and was sincere, that their names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and the church says, amen. Amen. Next Sunday, baptism.